Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out Five Reasons YouTube. Post Up 5R is going on as we speak. Floor is yours. We do that show once a week. We also do Before Floor. We do Before Floor an hour before every game. We did it tonight. I don't know that we quite predicted exactly what was going to transpire. Also, check out fivereasonsports.com. The latest takeaways from Brady Hawk and others are always up there. Plenty of Dolphins content related to Mike McDaniel is on the site. You can also get our t-shirts on the site as well. And we got some new ones, including a Mike McDaniel t-shirt if you are a Dolphins fan. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. This is a new sponsor to the show. It's called NordVPN. NordVPN, NordVPN. Online security starts with a click. NordVPN encrypts your internet traffic and hides your IP and virtual location. NordVPN helps protect you against bandwidth throttling from internet providers, where ISPs slow down your internet to get you to upgrade. You certainly don't want that. NordVPN also allows you to switch your country IP address to access Netflix, Disney Plus, YouTube Premium, and all of those other services in other countries for cheaper prices. NordVPN offers unparalleled browsing security and protection from hacking of personal data. So get your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. Or use the promo code 5RSN to get a discount on your NordVPN plan, plus one additional month for free and a bonus gift at checkout. All of this completely risk-free with NordVPN's 30-day money-back guarantee. So go to nordvpn.com/5RSN or just use the promo code 5RSN and start saving with the world's leading VPN provider. And now, tonight's crazy episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. We got the whole crew tonight. We got Brady Hawk, we've got Alex Toledo, I'm Ethan Skolnick, we got Greg Sylvander in his car making the 3-hour trek back to Charlotte. So I'm not sure that he wanted this thing to keep going tonight. I don't think any of us wanted this thing to keep going tonight. The Miami Heat win in double overtime to close out the first half as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, percentage points ahead of with a tiebreaker over the Chicago Bulls. A remarkable first half of the season that we're going to have about a week to recap, but we need about a week to recap just this game. So we're just going to go through it. Okay. And I'm just going to throw out one thing. It's like going to be like four words and I just want you guys to chime in. Okay. Duncan Robinson, Brady.
Yeah, that, he was big. Like that was pretty clear. Defensively, I think was the big thing to me. I don't know if you said for me to use four words, but I'm using more than four words.
I used two words actually. So you got plenty to spare. Go ahead.
I think it was just more about the defensive stuff from Duncan, because we constantly talk about him staying on the floor if he's shooting well. But when he's staying on the floor shooting well and providing that, the charges he was taking, being positionally sound, that stuff was big. But obviously, big shots, closing games, hitting these. It felt like there was times where their best offense was when Duncan was touching the ball. And it wasn't just because he was very efficient from three. It was because when he had the ball, two were flying at him. And it was the one time in their offense they actually had numbers offensively. They had space offensively, because when it was Jimmy Isos, when it was Bam, it was just a ton of non-space and they were forcing stuff. So that was kind of what stuck out to me. Just big shots, being able to close the games, and just looking at the numbers he played. Like we talked about the minutes. He played 44 minutes tonight. I don't know how many times we're going to say that Duncan Robinson plays 44 minutes, but that stands out to me.
Eric Spoelstra never subs in overtime. Never subs in overtime. It doesn't matter who he has. There could have been 12 overtimes tonight. PJ Tucker would have been carried off on a stretcher. He does not sub in overtime. All right, Alex, try to conclude with roughly the same number of words as Brady. I'm going to give you four words here. 10-point second quarter.
I mean, oh my God. I was just looking at that right now before we started. That's the same amount of points they scored in the first overtime. I mean, that's ridiculous. There are seven more minutes in a regular quarter than in overtime. That should not be possible. And that is what kind of gave way to this game, is that there's always points in, I feel like in every game now, where the offense just goes and it gets ugly. And it's always a point where I feel like they're not getting open looks, or maybe they've already gotten and missed those open looks. So guys are not in a rhythm and people start forcing stuff. My God, it was ugly. I'm just really happy for Duncan overall tonight, man. Like, besides just making the six threes, I couldn't agree more with what Brady said about, like, some of their best offense really was when he was involved in an action, whether he was shooting or not, making like great timely passes on that same read that he's been making for a long time now. It's just coming quicker and easier for him. Those bounce passes are very crisp, and it's just like, and then he makes the free throws to ice the game. So I'm just happy that they were able to come out of it with Duncan kind of showing, like, okay, I'm a viable option as a fourth quarter player. And, like, he helps free up some of that stuff that led to that 10-point second quarter.
Greg, I'm going to give you the emotional one since you're in the car. Jimmy Butler step back jumpers.
You mean John Starks or Jimmy Butler? Who was that tonight? That had to be the worst shooting game I've ever seen Jimmy Butler play in a Miami Heat uniform. I asked Brady, we were texting back and forth. I was trying to find if that was indeed, and maybe you guys uncovered it. But, you know, I was just talking with Nikias that, you know, we sat next to each other throughout the game. And we were just commenting, like, the stones Jimmy has to have to keep taking those shots and for Spo to keep putting the ball in his hands. I thought it was, like, pretty hilarious to see him when he made those last two and they called timeout, the way that he kind of roared around the bench as if he was having a 50-point type game. So ultimately, it's good to see Jimmy kind of climb out of that shooting night. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel a lot more comfortable tonight when Kyle had the ball late. And I kept, you know, tugging at Nikias's arm saying, Jimmy, don't shoot. Jimmy, don't shoot. And that's not like me.
I'm going to make one. That's what he said to Strus or something along those lines on the bench. We're going to pivot here in a second. I've got more under four words or under phrases to give to the three of you guys. Before we do, I want to tell you about another sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Therapist Preferred. If you need to recover from this game, you need the tincture, you need the gummies, you need the sports cream, right? You have to get some sleep, right? Okay. Therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the code 5RSN at therapistpreferred.com. This is premium CBD. You're not going to test positive for anything. It's all clear. Okay. So check it out. Therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN. You get yourself 25% off. Brady. Greg kind of tipped this one off. Kyle Lowry, late game. I'm going to hyphen that so I can get four words. Playmaker. Go.
Yeah, and I think it was more than just Kyle Lowry playmaker. To me, it was Kyle Lowry the scorer, Kyle Lowry the shooter. Even early in this game, and we could take this back to the first quarter, it felt like he said coming in that he's going to shoot the ball, because it seemed like really early on he was taking shots that he usually doesn't take in a first quarter. So that kind of stuck out. But as the game went on, I think you alluded to, Alex, the 10-point overtime. I think Bam hit two free throws early in that overtime. The next eight were scored by Kyle Lowry. He hit the three. He drove by with, I think it was Harrell that was on him. He gave him a pump fake, drove down, got a floater. And then it was another crazy three. So it was just a lot of that type of stuff that he was doing. But then there was one play that I had in mind later in double overtime that stuck out. And this is what happens now. Kyle Lowry can set up other guys without even just doing it purely with assists and everything. There was a play where it was Kyle at the top of the key, like almost looked like an ISO. And it was like an interesting play because Spo lined up the other four guys across the whole baseline. And Jimmy just kind of sprinted up, set like a ghost screen to win at Kyle, because they're just so worried about Kyle because he just scored like the last 8 points for this Heat team. He swings it over to Jimmy, and Jimmy pulls up into a wide open mid-range pull-up jumper. And that's kind of what got Jimmy going as much as you can get Jimmy going on an absolutely horrible night. So that's kind of what sticks out to me, just that type of play. That play is Kyle Lowry. All the scoring stuff is fun to watch and see him be able to take over. I think this is what you expect Kyle Lowry to do in a playoff setting when things go wrong, when he starts to be aggressive. This is what you're going to see. But it's more about when you have a Jimmy Butler not playing well, how do you get him in his spot, get him going? And then I think right after that play was when Jimmy hit the three that you guys have just alluded to. So it's just like that's the type of setups that he provides.
Alex, Harrell outplays Bam. Go.
Oh, wow. That's a hot take by you, man. I mean, look, Montrezl Harrell is a pretty good player. Like, he obviously had a good game. He went 9 of 16, so strong game for him. Not a great game for Bam. I don't like that you framed it that way. It's a little hurtful. It feels like the biggest thing as far as a bad game goes is Jimmy tonight with 5 of 24. He obviously closed it out with two big jump shots that Brady alluded to there. But on a night, because I looked at this too before we started, you got 10 of 36 combined from Jimmy and Bam. Mm-hmm. And then you got 12 of 24 between Kyle and Duncan from three. So that's the balance right there. It's just a really weird night. You're probably not going to see another night like this. But it's almost like, it's funny that Duncan and Lowry on the nights where they play against a drop big and Plumlee go off like this. Even though Montrez was kind of playing up higher on the screen, still, you know, you get the slower bigs and there you go. Like Lowry and Duncan are going to be able to get those advantages and get open looks. But that wasn't even really what was happening with Lowry down the stretch. He was just getting and creating space by himself and taking pull-up threes. So it was just crazy to see.
Greg, Haywood Highsmith minutes. Because that's where they were at tonight. They've tried to get through with some of these guys on the bench, and I feel like there's another guy I'm going to mention here to Brady in a second that they need somebody.
I felt bad for him, honestly. Like, they planted him in the corner, and he was trying to hit those shots. He didn't even get his free throws to go, so that's when you know that, like, I think he started to get a little heady with his play, and it shows you that, like, as much as I would like to brand – Haywood Highsmith as the Caleb Martin replacement, that's mm-hmm. not happening. And ultimately it shows you that, you know, he's just not ready yet. You can't necessarily count on him. So I don't know what else to say other than I guess maybe we need to, or I need to adjust expectations in terms of what he can do. Cause tonight, you know, it was ugly. And one thing I want to just circle back to Bam quickly on is that there was a moment late in that game where he started to really pick up his intensity defensively mm-hmm. and his disposition changed guarding Montrezl Harrell. And I thought that, like, it would have been nice to see that three quarters sooner, but it was good to see it as the game kind of got to a close.
He also closed down LaMelo Ball a handful of times getting to the rim. I think defensively he did pick it up as the game went on. But there was some stuff early in the game that was tough to watch, particularly in that second quarter and into the third quarter. All right, we're going to get to one more round here with these guys, and then we're going to let them go before we do. And as we do this, I guess what Jimmy, Bam, and Kyle are all doing the post game together, so you guys can catch that later. But before we do, we do something here on the podcast now called the Victory Cigar. The Victory Cigar, tonight's Victory Cigar, I'm giving it to Duncan. You could give it to Kyle for sure, but I'm giving it to Duncan because I think that was less expected here with the first half he's gone through to be able to close the way that he did. And where do you get your Victory Cigars? You get them at City Cigar Lounge. It's right in downtown Miami, down the street from FTX Arena. They got more than 350 different types of liquor, more than 50 different types of premium cigars. We're going to start doing some more watch parties there when the games come back. They got clean. It's a clean, comfortable place. They got nice leather chairs. They got a cool little food menu. It's just a great place to hang out with people. Okay. And just hang out for a few hours, actually, if you want to smoke a cigar. So go to City Cigar Lounge in downtown Miami, right down the street from FTX Arena, and Duncan Robinson gets my Victory Cigar of the night. Brady, Eric Spoelstra, I'm going to go a little further than four words with this one. Okay. Eric Spoelstra designed the play at the end. Again, took advantage of an overplay from Charlotte and a mistake to kind of win it with an ATO play. And here's my question. why can he not? He does. It seems to do everything else right. Why can he not just take the ball out of Jimmy's hands in some of these situations? I mean, we have gotten to that point. We've discussed this on so many shows, and Jimmy making a couple shots late does not obscure the fact to me that they're in that position again, because he's taking shots against type all the time. I'm fine with him taking certain types of shots, but he seems to always be in one of the corners taking a step back. I wasn't the only one. We all called it before he took it both times, right? Can Eric solve this problem? Because this is going to cost them games in the playoffs. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, I think he could solve it, because I feel like a lot of those plays are going to be in Tyler's hands when he's healthy, because it just seems inevitable that that's where they're going to have to go on those type of games. But it's crazy to think that there's that big of a difference with a 1-point lead on the C team compared to a tie game or down one. Because as you guys said before, that one play at the end with the out of the ATO where he did what he did in Chicago, where he passed it to Duncan, he fell for the trap, hits Kyle backdoor. That is when Eric Spoelstra's at his best, because that is just genius scheming. Just when you have that type of stuff and you're playing against a foul, that is when he's at his best. But then when you're watching these other plays, the one that stuck out to me was when they had, I think it was at the end of the first overtime, when they were 1 second left, Kyle just scored 8 points. It was just a very interesting play call. They inbound it to Jimmy for that kind of fade in the corner. The interesting part to me is that, first of all, I'm not going to have Kyle Lowry inbounding the ball with 1 second left if he just has it going, because this isn't like that final play where he has a chance to get it back. There's 1 second. Whoever gets the ball in is shooting it. I felt like PJ would be the better option to pass it in, because PJ was kind of standing in that weak side corner the whole time and no movement. They know that the ball's not going to him. So that just felt a little weird to me. So there was just, it's a lot of that type of scheming in those tie games, that it feels like the defense just knows where the ball is going. Everybody knows on Twitter where the ball is going. It was going in Jimmy's hands, going to take that jumper. And there's times even after, I think it was in overtime, where right out the gates, he took a hard drive down the baseline and he either got fouled or Bam ended up getting fouled right after. It was like, if you did that 15 seconds before that point, that's all you had to do. If you miss it, it's like there's a higher percentage of you possibly getting fouled or getting a decent look at the rim. It just feels like those jumpers, I don't know if they're ending anytime soon, but it seems like we're going to see them a lot more moving forward.
I know Alex is on the call right now, so I'm going to go to Greg on this one first. Tyler Hero. And we're talking about a player who didn't play in the game. And you mentioned Caleb Martin's absence was noticeable. Tyler Hero's absence to me was more noticeable at the end of the game. I feel like if you're Spo, you're looking at this and you're like, I need to get him in the spots to make those kind of plays, because the efficiency is probably going to go up with him.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. I hate to keep saying when I was talking to Nekias Duncan, but that's the kind of night it was. We were there for two overtimes. And I flat out asked him, like, when Milwaukee puts Giannis on Jimmy, is it as simple as Bam needs to dominate for Miami to win that series? And he actually countered me and said, no, I actually think it's way more important that Tyler and Duncan shoot well, and that would open up things. And it kind of illuminated things for me in terms of how good they really need Tyler to be, but also how much they need him. So I agree with you. He was missed tonight, particularly late. They had, you know, Kyle was having to create things that I don't think he necessarily wants to create on a nightly basis. So let's hope that Tyler has the knee rested. I heard that that Tyler wants to get that he's feeling good enough to play. So mm-hmm. I would expect him to be back on the court soon. Hopefully, you know, the first game back from the All-Star break, because it's undoubtable that this offense needs Tyler Hero, and they're going to need him, you know, to advance in the playoffs. There's no doubt.
All right. We're going to close here right after the break. And I want you guys all to think about this during the break. All right. The first half of the season is over. I want one word to describe it. All right. Before we close. Okay. And before we do that, I'll tell you about another sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Greg's appearances here are sponsored by our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida. Check them out again, watercleanupofflorida.com. If you're a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim, You might be dealing with water, mold, or fire damage. You got to get a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor. Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. When a disaster strikes your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress that an unexpected disaster may cause. They got more than 60 years of combined experience. Michael, Robert, and the team, they're prepared to handle any size disaster. They want to make the cleanup and insurance claim process as painless and hassle-free as possible. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed building contractor. They'll provide A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. They will handle everything for you. So reach out to Michael anytime on his personal cell. We've already had people who follow the show here do it. They had a great experience. 954-579-0356. Again, it's 954-579-0356. Watercleanupofflorida.com. And make sure you mention Five Reasons. All right, we're going to close here. We're going to close the first half of the season. It's more than the first half. It's almost three quarters of the season at this stage. We'll have plenty of episodes coming up next week on the YouTube channel and on Five on the Floor. We're going to have Jose Pineda join us here on the podcast and some others. We're going to kind of go around the horn to some more national folks. Check out the episode I did with Vinny Goodwill that's here. I'm stalling right now because I'm going to give you all an opportunity. You got one word. Describe the first half of the season. One word. Brady, go.
Yeah, I'm going to give an easy answer and say depth. That just feels like the big one to me. Like when Jimmy goes out, Caleb's sitting there. When Kyle goes out, Gabe's sitting there. When Bam goes out, Yurt's sitting there. Like they have all these options that step up when these guys have gone out that it just feels like whenever one guy or two guys go down, they're still not in a terrible spot. Tonight when they're down like three or four, you can obviously it's pretty noticeable because we're sitting here on a post-game podcast talking about Haywood Highsmith. So we obviously know where you're standing in this type of game. But ultimately, it is just the depth of this team because we were sitting here before the season talking about they don't have a backup point guard. We were talking about that they have so many empty roster spots, but there aren't many when you really look at it now that they even have 10 days they're signing that are at least contributing in some way. So I just feel like that is the way to look at it. And I do want to sneak one thing in here because we just went through, I think, three rounds of explaining this game, and I don't think we touched on PJ Tucker. And I just have to say that he literally kept them afloat in this game. That the first three quarters when nothing worked and they couldn't get anything going, PJ saved them. And it feels like I could have used if you asked me one word to describe the first half of the season, I could have said Tucker because I talked about depth and certain guys stepping in. Tucker's been the guy that's been here the whole time. He's basically been sitting here locked into his spot. And as we head into the All-Star break, I don't think there's anybody more deserving of an All-Star break of a week off than PJ Tucker.
Greg. Go ahead.
One word, right?
You can follow if you want, like Brady did, but one word.
Team. I know that sounds cliche, but to Brady's point about the depth, but also the connected nature of this group with all the guys in and out, the fact that they're kind of sticking to their principles game over game, the flexibility. I know now I'm adding other descriptive words, so I have to be careful here that I don't break the rules. But ultimately, like, I think if you looked at the first half of the season, they've exceeded expectations and it couldn't have been done. Like, if you take any one element away, it wouldn't have happened. So to me, your effort, so team.
Alex?
My word is contender. I think this team throughout the first few months, despite all the adversity, all the guys going in and out of the lineup, I mean, in all of the different possible ways that we couldn't have seen coming, or maybe we could have seen coming because of some of the age of these guys, like none of it matters. They come out as a one seed, even though the gap is not huge. They have kind of been at the top of the East for the overwhelming majority of this season. And I think now, like going into a month in March, obviously we're not in March yet, but they're going to have 11 home games. Like they're going to have a lot of time now just to kind of iron out some of the details there. A lot of the half court offense stuff, like Spo mentioned post game, how it's good to get a lot of these teaching points in a win. So I'm sure he recognizes some of the stuff that they got to fix. So to come out of this, number one, feel great about the depth, still have people that you want coming back from injury. Like everything just almost could not have gone better, especially considering the circumstances.
Before I get to my word, check out our sponsors, nordvpn.com. Use the code 5RSN. Same code at therapistpreferred.com to get your savings there as well. City Cigar Lounge, the place to go in downtown Miami now. And also our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida, because I forgot to say it earlier. If you got the schmutz, they got the guts. And I'm going to close with that word. And I hope that I don't get a copyright infringement. Guts. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.